everybody. I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food here on July 22nd, 2014. It's a nice hot day here in New York. Really nice. I'm really starting to appreciate the heat. I know some people can't handle the heat, and I've been in that situation from time to time, but I'm handling the heat a lot better these days, and I'm happy about that. There's something very cleansing, I think, when we're in the heat. I like to sit on my terrace in the morning and just sweat. It feels great. It feels really cleansing, and I like to think it's good for you. As long as you keep hydrating, right? We have to keep hydrating. Keep that water in because we're losing a lot. So if you're thinking you're not feeling exactly right, have a drink of water. A drink of clean water. In fact, I could use a little right now, and I don't have any. Practice what you preach, Karen. Okay. Well, let's bring on my first guest. We've got a few guests on the show today. It's going to be a very interesting and varied program. I'm looking forward to it. My first guest is Ann Dinshaw, and she has a new book, Powerful Vegan Messages. She co-authored the book with her late father, American Vegan Society founder H.J. Dinshaw. Now, Jay spearheaded the modern vegan movement in America, influencing many people with his message of dynamic harmlessness. Today, Ann brings the message to a new generation with a gentle, entertaining way of communicating in her own style. She's also the author of Dating Vegans. We had her on the show to talk about that book a while ago. Hi, Ann. Welcome to It's All About Food.
Hi, Karen. I had a drink of water right before we started our conversation.
You're smarter than me. I've got a head of kale here I could chomp on, but I forgot to bring water into the studio. But I think I'm okay. Anyway, how are you? How's Clint? How's your mom?
Oh, I'm great. Everybody's doing well. Clint and I just played a little tennis outside in the yard before it was time to come in and talk with you.
And how old is he now?
He's 3 and a half.
You know, I don't believe that. He just looks and sounds so beyond his years.
He is, and he really does a lot with helping me write. People don't believe how much he really inspires me. He comes up with some of the most witty, amazing things that I know some of it is just the things that I've taught him, but he puts it in his own words, and he'll come up with things like we shouldn't eat animals because animals deserve to have fun, the animals want to do fun things. And that's not quite the way that I phrased it to him, but he just puts it so simply that, he was a big reason why I had to work with my dad's old writings and repackage them for today, because I think people really are receptive to veganism, and they just need to hear it from some different voices.
Well, I want to say that many of us who knew your father are so grateful to him, and you can tell by some of the stories and writings in this book. You've had other people submit essays and stories about your dad, and he touched many of us, and it was a huge shock. I'll never forget it in 2000 when he passed. I'm sure it was a great shock to you and your family, but the vegan world was profoundly moved and saddened. But his work lives on, and it lives on in you, and I'm grateful for that.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it's one of those things that I think we can all learn from. There were so many people that came forward with stories in the past 14 years that I don't know if they would have shared those stories with me yet if my dad were still here, unfortunately. but because somebody's gone, then people really want to remember, and they want to share how they've been touched by his life and his message. And, when enough time has passed, I felt that it was right to, bring forward his writings again and have a bit of a tribute to him. So the book also tells his biography. And along the way, we make everything applicable to today's world and bring you up to date. So it was a lot of fun. It was a lot more than I thought it would be. I thought, I'll get 10 people to write stories. Well, I had to stop when I had over 40 stories or else the book wasn't going to come out. But it's been wonderful listening to how everybody's been not just inspire to become vegan, but there's so many people who really do great advocacy work, spreading the vegan message, informing people in gentle ways. And so that's really what I wanted to get across, is the ripple effect of our actions. So it wasn't just my dad, but all these other people who are now doing such good work, and how they are regular people like you and me, and they decided that this was what they need to learn about, and they made a commitment to learning about it and came up with ways to make changes.
Now, there are, happily I want to say this, there are many, many more organizations all over the world right now that are promoting a similar message to your organization, and then putting different spins on them. And I found that in activism, even when the message is peace and compassion, we get a lot of anger and we get a lot of judgment. And I never got that from the American Vegan Society. There was always this very loving, peaceful, calm, quiet character. I know your mom, Freya, has it, and I'm sure your dad was a part of that, and his writings definitely have it. That's very unique and very special.
Well, thank you. We like to think that we're kind of the organization, you know, with the name American Vegan Society. We want to be very inclusive of people, very welcoming of people. And as far as having other organizations promoting veganism, I think that's great. You often need to hear about things from three different sources before you believe things. And so if you hear about it from us and you hear about it from someone else, that's terrific. We want everybody to learn about veganism in whatever way they can. And back when my dad was beginning to promote it in this country, there really wasn't anyone going around telling about veganism. And he was considered a crank. And so he said, well, hey, you need a crank to get things started. And so he was okay with that. I'm really the girl next door. I wouldn't have been comfortable being a crank. I just enjoy, you know, hanging out with my friends and being a normal citizen. And, oh, yeah, I happen to be vegan, so you want to come over for dinner. So I give a lot of really simple ways that people can do different things. So I encourage people to get out there and, you know, do three things. If you're already vegan, do three things to encourage other people. And if you're not vegan but you're just curious about it, then learn about it in three different ways. So whether you're reading a book or going to an event or listening to a show or whatever it is, get three really good sources of information.
What is dynamic harmlessness? It sounds really
great
good.
Great question. Great question. I'm so glad you asked.
Yeah.
Dynamic harmlessness was the way that my dad explained ahimsa. Ahimsa was a Sanskrit word that means non-harming, but he felt that really doesn't say enough, because you need to go out and do the least harm and the most good with your actions. So if you sit in a cave and do absolutely nothing, you might be practicing ahimsa, but you're not really benefiting the world. So my dad was very inspired by people like Gandhi, who really advocated to go out and do some good in the world. So quickly, in a nutshell, dynamic harmlessness is the phrase my dad promoted that means to do the least harm and the most good.
Now, in the book, you had this fun thing in the beginning and in the end where you let us listen in. It was written, of course, but it felt like we were there, to a conversation you were having with the Robbins family, the Campbell family, the Esselstyn family. And your four families are really the new dynasty of the plant-based movement, and it's so lovely to see it continuing through the generations. Did this event really happen?
Well, it's based on actual interviews. I wish we all had time to come together and do things like this.
I wanted to be there at that party.
Oh, that's the point. I want the readers to be there, and I want you to feel like you're there. But it is actual interviews, actual conversations, and we all had a great time writing it together. And so what we really wanted to get across is that it does take so many different voices promoting a common message. And our common message is you don't have to eat animals. You can eat plants. And it's better for your health. It's better for the environment. It's better for the animals. And so the three families all have very different ways of presenting pretty similar material. We're not going to agree on every tiny thing, but that's okay. The fact that we can all, you know, sit in a virtual room together and enjoy a great dinner and talk about how we need to continue to encourage and support each other. That was the thing we were trying to accomplish. And for me, that was the part that was very important, because I really wrestle with my role of how to continue what my parents have started. And these people just made it very crystal clear to me what we need to be doing. And to hang out with them and get to know them was just a truly wonderful experience.
Sorry about that. I just got unplugged. And now I'm plugged again. What I wanted to talk a little bit more about is common ground. So you were talking about how you didn't have to agree with everybody on with the Robbins and the Campbells and the Esselstyn, but you do agree on many, many things. And that's where we need to focus, even with people who completely disagree with what we think. And I'm going to be getting into that a little bit in the next part of the program. But common ground is really important, because I do believe that all of us want the same things: clean air, clean water, nutritious food for our families. And we need to focus on those things and then find ways to optimize those simple things that we want and need.
Well, Powerful Vegan Messages definitely encourages people to find common ground. You know, find something that you like doing with someone else before you try to share with them a vegan meal. And so we try to give a lot of ideas from all different people of how you can gently do some vegan advocacy, and you're not going to win anybody over by hitting them over the head with a book. You're going to win them over by, you know, talking with them a little bit. And,
delicious
there's so many
food.
People who are, yes, delicious food. It is all about food, right?
Exactly.
But just talking with them a little bit and sharing with them the things that work for you. And so that's part of why, you know, my voice comes through a little bit, because my dad wasn't so much the one who would have a dinner party. He would put on a conference and have hundreds of people and, you know, share dinners with them that way. But I'm more the type that's going to reach out to my friends and throw a dinner party. And that's something that people respond really warmly to, especially if I ask them ahead of time what their favorite foods are. And I try to make it something that they would definitely enjoy and not be fearful of if I'm the only vegan they know.
Well, the thing that was really important about the American Vegan Society back in the 60s when it was founded, there was no internet. And what was amazing reading about it, and I know I experienced myself, was that those of us who were coming to this realization about where our food came from and where we wanted our food to come from and what we didn't want to happen, we found each other. We found all of the like-minded people, not only in this country, but around the world. And your father was so important in making that happen. And it's so easy to feel alone. And, you know, sometimes when you have ideas that nobody else is thinking about, you question, you know, am I crazy? And then you find other people who feel the same way, and there's that strength in numbers. And your father was so important in making that happen pre-internet.
Thank you.
It just blows my mind how we did anything before the internet, before smartphones.
Yeah, he really, that was the part that I didn't know so much about him. I knew about his writings. I had seen the books. I had gone and visited with him, you know, when he's traveled around doing lecture tours. I've visited places and heard him speak. And so I knew about that aspect of his life and his work. But what I really didn't know is how much he reached, much he encouraged people, amazing people who shared their stories, like Victoria Moran, who said that he just never gave up on her. And, you know, now look at the amazing things and the amazing books that she does.
Exactly,
those
amazing seeds.
Vegan Academy. And if my dad would have given up on someone like that, you know, she might not be accomplishing the things that she does today. And I was just amazed how many people came forward with those kind of stories, that that was really the most important thing that he did, was that he was always very welcoming to people wherever they were along the vegan journey. If they were vegan yet or not, it didn't matter. As long as they were interested, he was interested in them.
Now, another thing about the American Vegan Society is you're clearly not profit motivated. And I'm a life member, and I'm happily a life member, and I only became a life member because it was affordable. There are many life memberships that are not very affordable for regular people. And, you know, I don't know how you've managed all this time, because everything is very reasonable. You have an incredible library of, like, every book ever written on the subject.
Thank you. Yes, well, we do rely a lot on people's generous donations, and we're working on revamping our website so it's a little more user-friendly, but you can go to AmericanVegan.org and get a good idea of the type of information that we have available. And we're one of the few organizations that you can call on the phone, and you'll actually get a real person frequently. I'm not going to promise all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we definitely have always had a lot of interaction with the people directly who want information.
Okay, so what's next, Dan? What's next with the American Vegan Society?
Well, next is we're launching our new campaign, Vegan Generation to the Third Power, which has sprung out of the Powerful Vegan Messages book. And I mentioned a little bit about it earlier, but the campaign is encouraging everybody, it doesn't matter what your age is, to be part of the vegan generation. And we encourage people to do three actions. So if you're curious about veganism, learn about it from three sources. And if you're already vegan, find three good ways to reach out to people, like loan them those vegan books that are on your shelf, invite them to dinner, take them food shopping, help them understand what vegan things are on the grocery shelves, and just make it easier for people. Just be a very welcoming ambassador. So we're about to launch that as our new campaign, and we're going to be, we've got all sorts of ways on our website coming up that we can make it easier for people to become involved. You don't have to do a lot if you're not the person who's going to get on stage or write a book or have a radio show. That's okay. We try to have other ways that people can get involved.
You know, taking somebody to a grocery store, a guided shopping tour, is such a great thing to do, and people don't even probably realize it. But most people, when they go into a supermarket, they go to specific places to get the food they're familiar with. When I'm in a grocery store, I don't even go down most aisles because there's absolutely nothing I want in most aisles of the grocery store. But to point out all kinds of nutritious, healthy foods that people either don't see or aren't aware of, don't know what to do with. If I spend more than 5 minutes in a grocery store, I'm always talking to somebody. I always hear a question, and I'm always ready with the answer. Most of the time, the answer is kale. But guided shopping tours are great, so I'm glad you're encouraging that.
Yeah, and they can be fun, too.
Absolutely.
I like to make gains out of it. Like, when I go shopping with Clint, I ask him if he can find a certain vegetable first before I can. And if I go shopping with someone who can read already, then I'll, we'll pick out some product, because a lot of people need those transition foods, some of those packaged vegan products that look a little bit more like the meat or the cheese. And we'll turn around the package and we'll read to see whether it's vegan. And nowadays you can cheat on this game because so many of them are marked vegan.
Yeah.
But back in the old days, you would have to turn around the label and read through it and
right.
See who could tell first whether it was vegan or not. And so I try to make it fun and enjoyable. And even for myself, I've always been a vegan shopper. But I try to find one thing that's different, one thing that's new and exciting that I haven't tried before. And so I think I'm encouraging those vegan companies to keep making those products. And then I have an opinion that I can share with other people who are really looking for those transition foods that are vegan but might be packaged to look like something else.
And I'm glad to have you out there, and all the best with Powerful Vegan Messages and for continuing the American Vegan Society legacy. I look forward to seeing you at the next Veggie Pride Parade.
Thank you.
And take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.